Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition of Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, do you want to be a platoon sergeant for the day? Apparently, one Army MP unit, all you have to do is win a bet on Facebook. Round number two, a segment of Antique Roadshow went viral this week after an Air Force veteran found a watch that he ordered through the exchange 40 years ago. Now that watch is worth nearly $1 million. Round number three, we asked the ZBT listeners to tell us the bootiest boot things they did when they were new boot goofing, and my God, you nerds. But that's okay. We were all nerds. That's part of being a boot. It's part of being lovely. It's part of being a young service member, and we're going to embrace that and not shame you in any way, shape, or form for that. Round number four, Kate interviews Daniel Sharp from Pop Smoke official account. He shares some words of wisdom about mental health, taking risks to follow your own path, and much, much more. And finally, round number five, everyone who has served goes through these moments where they absolutely hate it, but unlike one airman, most don't fake a kidnapping and a little bit of light amnesia in order to get a discharge. We're going to tell you about that story, and all of that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at CBDMD, because if you don't know it, CBDMD is our go-to CBD choice. If you are having trouble sleeping, if you're doing any of that kind of stuff, like I know a lot of people are, CBD with melatonin. There's a valerian root as well, and a little bit of chamomile. I got confused. You know what I honestly thought it was? I thought it might be the calamine lotion that you used to put on if you had a little bit of mosquitoes. I was like, CBD influenced mosquito treatment would be wonderful. Maybe they can look into that too. But if you need any type of CBD products to sleep, they have the CBD PM or any of their other stuff. They have the tinctures, they have the bath bombs, they have gummies, they have basically anything that your CBD needs neat. Use the promo code ZBT today and you're going to get 25% off your next order when you use the promo code CBD at ZBT at CBDMD.com. Once again, Charlie Bravo Delta Mike Delta.com, promo code ZBT for 25% off. First up, I want to talk about Kate and what's been going on with her. She has it down in her save rounds, but I feel like this is something that we need to discuss because it is a little bit business related. Like whenever you get your Twitter account suspended, it affects ZBT's bottom line. It affects her Barstool clicks. Kate, let the people know what happened once you got to celebrate that you were verified on Twitter.
Yeah, so the other night I finally got verified on Twitter. I've had an account since 2014. I've worked really hard to build it up, as pathetic as that sounds. And my Twitter account is the reason that you found me and that I have a job here at Barstool Sports. Like that, working hard at it and curating a special like military comedy news, those three worlds and interacting with those people ultimately led me to Barstool. So 2014, finally in 2020, 6 years later, I get notification that I got verified the other night. And again, to sound like an enormous dork, I was like, fuck yeah. I was in my apartment making Easy Mac when the word came through. Did a little cartwheel maybe with my cat Spork. So I was pretty jazzed about it. And then I thought, but I can't seem jazzed about it because that's not cool.
Right. You still got to be cool.
Right. You have to act like you don't care that you got verified. Like, whatever. No big deal. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. And so I was like, how's a funny way that I can do a tweet showing everyone that I'm verified without like trying to look like I'm getting attention, you know?
Sure.
So I thought, wouldn't it be funny to pretend that this whole 6 years of building up this account was all a ruse and that something more sinister was actually behind the account? Like,
and I want
really
everybody,
Kate,
if you only have access to us through this podcast, you're about to get a little glimpse inside the pure mind of Kate right now. This is about to be the purest example of what happens in Kate's brain every day.
Yeah. So I have 89,000 followers on Twitter, and I finally get verified. And this is the first tweet that I put out when I'm verified. So the first thing I did was I went and found a photo of a hermit crab living inside a broken off beer bottle, mm-hmm. like as his shell.
And as one would expect.
As one would expect. I make that my profile photo, and then I change the Twitter background to Under the Sea, and then I change my bio to be like, tune into the chaps. And so I decided that I was going to pretend to be a hermit crab named Dennis, who had secretly been running the account this entire time, like a surly hermit crab from the Jersey Shore who lives in a broken off beer bottle. And it's actually been him behind the account this whole time and like finally revealing himself now that the account has been verified. So I changed my profile photo to this hermit crab, my background, and then I even changed the bio to like, tune into the Chaps and Dennis show and this and that. And like, instead of go, yo, go birds for the Eagles, like I normally do, go Squids. And then I tweeted this out with a photo of the crab on top of the, and I changed the name too, to Dennis. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm finally verified after all these years of painstaking personal brand crafting and earning your trust, I shall come forth and tell you whomst I really am. Tis I, Dennis the Hermit Crab in a Bottle, you fools! Anyway, that was the tweet I put out, and I had changed my whole profile to look like I was now this hermit crab named Dennis, mm-hmm. and that, like, Kate was all a made-up person. It's this evil hermit crab who has been...
And what happened?
I got... 10 minutes later, I got kicked off Twitter. I completely... I go to tweet something, and this message pops up that's like... suspicious activity on your account. You've been like cut off essentially. They took away my profile photo, so it's just a gray egg. My background is gone. It's just a purple strip. And they changed the name back to Kate. They took Dennis away and made it Kate again. And now I can no longer access my account. So that is the last tweet.
And this all happened on a day that Barstool sold for our now is valued at $450 million.
Right.
So on that day, our main social media manager, the social media guru, Gaz, has to go to Twitter and be like, hey, we realize that you just verified Kate. She's actually not a hermit crab named Dennis, but she's one of our bloggers.
Yeah, it was such a huge day here at work yesterday, and they had so much other stuff going on, and I had to be like, hey, excuse me.
And what did Gaz say?
I pretended to be a hermit crab online, and I lost my Twitter account, which for us here at Barstool is important because as bloggers, like we do a lot of non-military stuff all day long. We write mm-hmm. about all sorts of different things. We have a radio show that we don't really talk about military stuff on at all. And Twitter is what really, I mean, with the big followings we have, it like helps us push out our stuff and like helps us be successful. So it's kind of a big deal to lose it here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Gaz was like, you what? Huh? And I was like, I had to show him the tweet and explain what I had done. And he was like, this is the stupidest way anyone could possibly lose their account. And then I had to tell Dave. Everybody's like, Dave, listen. And again, this is the day that our boss just found out that his company, we sold a part of a stake to it. For turns out we're valued at $450 million, which is mm-hmm. huge. Just 2 years ago, it was valued at like $100 million. So this crazy, incredible leap. And all these news, he's doing like interviews all day long. He's wearing like a fancy suit and tie. And I had to stand there and explain to him that I lost my account for pretending to be a hermit crab too. So it was like, it was just my face with like tomato red. He was actually, I think he knows how like fucked up my brain is. And
yeah.
he like pondered it for a second. He was like, you know what you should do? When they give you your account back, your first tweet, again, should be from Larry the Hermit Crab. He told me to keep it up. He was like, you keep rolling with it and keep be like, yeah, so I'll probably
nice to have that
again.
Support, though. Nice
I know. It's very
support.
Nice. Yeah,
what if,
I was surprised.
What if you don't get it back?
That's a great question.
Start another one.
I
or
might
you
have
do
to start
Hard
another.
For Motivators or whatever your old Twitter
I again. Know. So it's been a whole big debacle. It's been a whole big thing. And I'm just, you know, thoughts and prayers for me during this difficult time in my life. And I didn't realize how much I rely on Twitter every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because here I don't know too many people in New York City. All my friends are back down in like Philly area. And so a kind of social media. This is about to sound so sad. Social media is my friend, kind of. Like all the people I interact with on there and stuff. So to not have it as my go-to when I'm just stuck with nothing to do, I'm like, oh, fuck.
So what have you been doing?
I got to like talk to people in person. I got to go to the park. I joined a bocce league. It's been, my life's really fallen apart since I lost my Twitter the other day. So
oh my goodness.
Tough times for old
Because there is nothing that's depressing whenever you have to switch off of Twitter and you go to Instagram. And when Instagram gives you that little notification, you're all up to date on post, you're like, oh, Yikes.
Yeah. I got nothing else.
Nothing to scroll through. What am I supposed to do taking a dumper these days? What am I supposed to look at?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's
this
been
is
tough.
Tough.
Excellent
so
point.
If you don't see me tweeting,
well, maybe if there's somebody
who's
listening,
on.
Like in round one, somebody can offer you the position of being a platoon sergeant of the day in an Army MP unit. Maybe you could do that instead of focused on your Twitter. Let's go ahead and hop into some of the subject of the day. We'll start with round number one.
Yeah, round number one, Facebook, I don't use it anymore. Again, like we were talking about, I'm a huge Twitter person. It's probably my number one, followed by Instagram. Then I'm getting a little into the TikTok game, even though I'm way too old for it. But Facebook, I kind of completely ignore. But for one soldier, it was kind of a big deal. So this is an official memorandum for record that I'm looking at here, dated 29 January 2020, Department of the Army, 401st MP Company, Camp Hovey, Republic of Korea.
Based on the mutual agreement on the social media site Facebook by Sergeant First Class Vary, Whalen, and Corporal Griffith, Troy, that if selected video reached 500 views, that Corporal Griffith would be awarded appointment as platoon sergeant for a day. The selected video reached 500 views on 29 January 2020.
So, yeah, basically, this guy gets to be platoon sergeant for a day because one of their Facebook videos hit 500 views.
Well, this is a common thing we see now on social media where you reach out to whatever entity and say, hey, if I get 5,000 retweets, will you give me free Chick-fil-A for a month or whatever?
It was like that airman who reached out to the porn star and she was like, if you get 10,000 retweets, I'll go to your dance
but
with you.
5,000? Value your job a little more, platoon sergeant.
Or 500.
Or 500. Jesus Christ, dude. Like, have your job be a little more valuable. Like, you could, even if you have 20 followers on Facebook, 500 views for a video is nothing. Like, that's nothing.
No,
why are we doing 500?
It would be a big deal if it was on, like, the 401st MP Company Facebook page that no one probably ever
So you think this is, like, PAO and this is getting them out there type of thing? Maybe. Stay woke.
Know.
Maybe this was their plan all along that they published this. They know. Maybe they're ZBT listeners. They know that this type of memorandum is something that we read often. And they're like, hey, they're going to talk about what we're doing in Korea. They're going to give us a little bit of cred because we've been over here struggling, grinding. We want our people to be mentioned too. So shout out all the people that are in Korea deployed right now. Unbelievable.
I know. Yeah, good job by you guys. You got my attention. But yeah, it's like an official thing that went through. And it looks to be very real to me. It's signed off on and everything. So I like the idea of them. Now,
you got to wonder, though, like, how much is he really going to let him do?
Well, this reminds me of, and I'm sure everyone will know this reference here on a military podcast, the episode of Full House, where they go to Disney's California location and Michelle gets to be princess for a day.
Yes, of course. I remember that episode well.
It goes to her head.
Yes,
it
does.
Let me tell you, she wreaks havoc on the unit, a.k.a. her family, with a lot of crazy demands.
And Uncle Joey came in. He's like, you better cut it out. Get out of here.
Exactly. Get out. Jesse flipped a chair backwards and had to teach her about life for a second.
And
there
he was
like
what
thing.
Are you talking about? Going to the teacups again? Have mercy.
Have mercy. So yes, very much like that. I'm assuming that's exactly what this day will be like when they get to be platoon sergeant for a day. So hopefully it doesn't go to their head.
I got to tell you, I didn't think we were going to have multiple Full House references in the first round. Glad we got that out of the way. But it does remind me back in my old days, like whenever you would have things for the ball or you would have dining out or something like that. And occasionally if the staff NCOs and officers wanted to have a golf outing, they would have like a staff NCO and officer PME that they would do. Occasionally they would assign these roles where like a senior sergeant can go up and be the battalion commander for the day. A senior corporal would go be like the sergeant major for the day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it, that is the most disrespectful and like patting your little unimportant tushy on the bottom that you could possibly have. It's so demeaning to be like, you can have my super important position of the day there, sergeant, not a responsibility you could normally have.
Yeah. Wild.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just like a cool thing. It's like almost like go to work with your parent for a day.
Yeah, but you're not my fucking dad. You're the battalion commander.
You're not my dad.
You're not
well,
my dad.
You know what?
You know.
That's exactly
you know what?
You're exactly right. It is like that. It's like treating people like they're children.
Yeah, but I guarantee there's some platoon sergeants like, yeah, I'm your daddy. I'm your platoon daddy.
Yeah, and if they do, we'll talk about them on a round two. Those little perverts.
Well, I would like to say if I get my Twitter back this week and I get more than 100 likes,
tread lightly. Kate.
I get to be commandant of the podcast forever.
Now we're just creating roles.
Yikes. Lots of duty butts. Round number three is brought to you by Duty Butts.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of hermit crabs, you're kind of dressed like a hermit crab today. You got like the shell, which is the one blanket, and then you have the other blanket on top of that. So you're kind of like emulating Dennis. You're really going all for this hermit crab life.
I am. Yeah. I do feel like if you just put some pigeons on me today and put me on a park bench, like, people would walk
because
right
we Kate and I have been New doing York. Early morning radio this week, and she came in this morning. I gotta be honest, I know what tonight's gonna be like at like 9:30 tonight, 21:30 for you military types. Kate is going to respond to one of Brent's tweets where he's getting the approval for our social media clips, and she's gonna say, I look like a dumpster fire in all these clips. Do we have to put them out?
You can't use these because I look like straight up duty balls.
Hashtag no,
duty balls.
No makeup 2020, but
you
I don't
are your
look
hardest
good in
critic.
Clip.
I don't. You said a whole bunch of things before we started recording, and I didn't agree with a single one of them.
Like, I would only be a deployment 4.5 right now. That's tough. That's rough, but it's true.
I'm laughing not because I believe you and agree with you. I'm laughing just because the things you say are just so ridiculous. Because I don't see it.
Well, you're lying, but thank you. God, man.
Good job,
I would never be platoon sergeant for a day. I'll never make it at this point. No one's going to watch my videos.
All right, let's move on to round number two.
Round number one was pretty much Kate's gross again, as usual. That's neat.
A recurring segment.
Round number two.
That's neat.
Yeah. Sweet. Round number two is brought to us by Antiques Roadshow.
Wow.
Gang, we got full house in round one. We're moving on to Antiques Roadshow in round two. What a wild card Friday episode we've got for you here. But it was because a clip from the show went viral this week. It was in Bonanzaville, North Dakota.
That sounds like a fake made-up place.
I know. Welcome to Bonanzaville. Yeah. Anyways, Bonanzaville, North Dakota this week. And
oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. That sounds like someone got to be mayor for the day and renamed the town Bonanzaville because they were big fans of Bonanza.
I declare myself Old Prospector, King Prospector of Bonanzaville, North Dakota. Anyway, this guy, an Air Force veteran, went on Antique Roadshow with an item he bought from the exchange, from the PX pretty much. He ordered it through the PX, 10% discount, and ended up getting a huge surprise that made him quite literally flip out. In the first few minutes of the clip, the man identified only as David explains he was an Air Force veteran drafted in 1971, and he even said he was number 7 in the draft. So
wow,
he was pretty quick up there. Yeah, he was pretty early on. He was stationed out of Thailand from 1973 to 1975 during the Vietnam War, and while he was stationed there, they would still get liberty and stuff. They could still travel around from time to time doing whatever he was doing, and he noticed that the pilots of the commercial planes were all wearing these badass watches. So the watch caught his attention, and he asked one of the pilots, it's Rolex. So that caught his attention. Then he started scuba diving over there when he was stationed in Thailand. And Rolexes, I didn't know this. I always thought they were like hoity-toity. They were great diving watches, apparently. Mm-hmm. So,
well, there's a lot of nice watch brands that are also made for diving.
For diving?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm like, I totally not in the watch world at all. So then he got into scuba diving and saw this Rolex. So he bought it for scuba diving from the base exchange at a 10% discount for $345.97.
2019, that would be $2,214.
And he said it was about 1 month's pay for him. He spent a whole month's pay on this watch, but $345.97. So he gets the watch and he looks at it and he's like, man, this is a really beautiful watch. It's a really neat watch. It's too nice to take diving with me. And so he kept it out of the ocean and he kind of just forgot to wear it. He gets home from the deployment. He puts it in a safe deposit box and he still has all the packaging, all the documentation. And he just started wearing other watches. He forgot that it was in the safe deposit box. 40 something years go by. So he's standing there now at this Bonanzaville, North Dakota thing, getting his watch appraised.
And we have to say what this fella looks like. He looks like essentially Santa went to Vietnam.
He does.
He looks straight out of Central Casting.
Yeah.
If you were like, hey, Vietnam vet, boom,
he's
it's this
guy. He's
got
this like long gray hair tied up in a camouflage like bandana. And he's real soft-spoken and very kind. Mm-hmm. And before the appraiser tells him how much the watch is worth, he kind of talks about his time during the war, and he was EOD for the Air Force. And so part of his job was to go clearing all these areas of old landmines and stuff like that. And for he gets really quiet for a second, and he talks about, you know, he saw some pretty horrible things, like children who didn't realize that the mines were there and stuff like that. And so they kind of move on in the conversation. They start talking about the watch again. And he goes on to give him the actual valuation. Bren, hit the clip.
And this particular model, being marked Oyster, is extremely, extremely rare. A watch like this at auction is worth about $400,000. You okay? Don't fall. I'm not done yet. I said a watch like yours because of the condition of it. Basically, it's a new old stock watch. No wear on it. The original foil sticker on the back of it. And the fact that we have all this complete documentation here also. Maybe one of the very few in the whole world that still was never worn. Your watch at auction today, $500,000 to $700,000.
You're good.
No, I'm very serious.
Oh,
it's an absolute fabulous find. It's one of the rarest Paul Newman models. And in this condition, I don't think there's a better one in the world. Can't thank you enough for bringing me one of the greatest watches to ever see on Antiques Roadshow. And thank you very much for your service.
So, yeah, you can hear the point after Plains, the appraiser, this guy Plains says $400,000. You can hear David literally, there's this moment of silence. He flips over off of his feet. People come running over to make sure he's okay. And then he hops right back up with like a little grin on his face. This like
just
shy,
goofing.
Quiet guy. Like he was just goofing. He was just Antiques Roadshow goofing. And then Plains goes on to tell him, but he thinks that's it, $400,000. Plains goes on to tell him, like, actually, it could be up to $700,000. So, just absolutely crazy. And it's little things that I never would have thought of, like the watch having the word Oyster on it, the water-resistant, unusual screw-down buttons, the foil sticker on the back, the reference number, the fact that Paul Newman wore the same watch in a movie once, like all these little things. And they said just the paperwork, that he all his paperwork for it was untouched. In another part of the clip, he was saying that the paperwork for this stuff can be sold on its own for thousands.
Jeez.
To go with other watches. It's insane. This is a whole world I never knew. But I just love that it sounds like there was some pretty tough moments from his time in service. And I love that he also has this incredibly happy memento from his time in service. And I just love how he just seemed like such like a humble, chill, kind of hippie-ish dude now, but still proud of his service with the bandana. And I'm just really happy for him. I think that's awesome.
So do you think he's going to sell it? Because I feel like a lot of people on the Antiques Roadshow, they're like, this is too valuable to me. I'm going to keep this forever.
I guess
when that's something that expensive.
Probably depends on what his lifestyle is like. I mean, if he's struggling and not doing too hot, you definitely sell it at 700 grand. Like you reset your life at the age of 71 where you're really going to have
for
a
sure.
good life at the end of it. It reminds me, though, like having that little portion of – I wish there was something like that in my life that I didn't touch for 40 years and you not even think about it. Because recently I saw this article on toys from the 80s. And one of my favorite toys that I had growing up was a doll that was kind of like a boy's Cabbage Patch. It was a Cabbage Patch for those of us with penises. And his name was My Buddy. Do you guys remember the My Buddy toy?
Oh, yeah.
My Buddy.
Yes,
my buddy,
exactly.
My buddy.
Did you know that if you have an untouched My Buddy doll still in the packaging, you could get like 28 grand for it right now?
Oh,
wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
No, I had no idea.
Damn. I wonder how much my old school Ninja Turtle figurines and action figures be worth.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do kids not open it, though? That's what I – like, some of them have kids – like, I'm sure Jeff Lowe is like that, where he has toys that he never opened and shit. Like, the Beanie Babies that are still in their boxes. How do you do that? Yeah. I guess it's whenever you have toys, a ton of toys just growing up. I could never do this. Same thing with this watch. If I'm spending $2,500 equivalent on a watch, buddy, I'm wearing that thing everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah, I'm wearing and stunting and letting everyone know, hey, by the way, did you see my Rolex? No, but can you imagine, though, you're coming down on Christmas morning and you see all these great toys and then your mom says, all right, that's great. You can't open it, though. We need to save that for the next 30 years. That's just not realistic for people to hold on to these things.
I'm too much of an instant gratification person. It does make me wish that I had bought that coat of arms from the PX and maybe held on to it for a long time. Maybe a good sword or two from the PX.
Or that Motorola Razr phone. Imagine what you can get for a very pristine Motorola Razr right now.
untouched. I love that he ordered this, a 10% discount from the exchange, and that it's worth $700,000 now. So congrats to David.
So sometimes your boot purchases really do end up benefiting.
I know.
Don't let your crusty platoon sergeant tell you not to. So on round number three, we're going to talk about some boot experiences. Here we go.
Round number three, boots are going to boot, and we poke fun at them a lot on our social media. We try not to punch down, but I think one of the reasons we feel okay about doing it is that we're also very open about what enormous dorkwads we were when we were boots. Mm. I don't know if it's quite the same for officers. Is there like, oh God, look at this lieutenant doing this boot shit?
Yeah, there definitely is.
I think like their boot shit is different, though, than ours. Enlisted side boot shit is like backpacks and gear and things like that. I feel like officer boot shit is getting a nice set of loafers, getting some even shorter pastel color shorts and a nice polo.
No, he's right.
You tuck in your polo shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
No, he's right. Or, you know, let me get this really expensive attaché that I'm going to carry with me to meetings.
Oh,
or
God.
Let me really bust out my Mont Blanc pen.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So before you joined us, there was one day we were talking about Mont Blanc pens or nice pens, whatever. The very next episode, I came in wearing my Mont Blanc pen, and Chaps happened to be in town. He looked over at me, and he just goes, "You son of a bitch."
Officer boot. Yeah. I guess we'll call officer boots loafers. Fucking loafers, man.
Love it.
Dumbass loafers.
I like it.
Ugh,
boots and loafers. That's exactly what it is.
For sure. Boots and
new
loafers.
New loafer goofing.
Just loafer.
Stepping out my crocodile loafs.
But again, it's more of an enlisted thing. And we asked some of our followers, what is the most boot dorkiest shit you've ever done? So for me, I was one of those shameless mirror selfie people, and I could not get enough of taking mirror selfies in uniform with like a boonie cover on, dog tags out, and I'm giving the thumbs up. The first like 50 photos I have of myself in service, either double thumbs up or one thumbs up, mouth wide open going, hey! Like,
do you have any parade rest pics?
I do. I have a couple parade rest photos. I have... I wore this T-shirt with a bulldog on it that said "Taking a bite out of the Middle East." I wore it. Yeah, I had never deployed. I wore it unironically. I wore it like
before you deployed.
Tucked into my jeans out in town.
Wow.
I had a backpack everywhere. I wore a Camelback out in town a couple times.
You still wear a backpack everywhere.
I still wear a backpack everywhere, but I also am guilty of wearing a Camelback a couple times as well, which is unforgivable. You just absolutely
out in public.
Can't. Yes.
Not working out?
Yeah. Like, it's going to be hot out in Oceanside today. I'll just bring this. Yeah. Like,
oh,
I was
hydrated?
Like, fucking...
You already know I'm hydrated.
You know. It was just like to go to the movies.
Bring out the P chart right now. I am crystal clear.
I will show you.
Did you guys ever fill your Camelback with liquor when you went to a concert?
Absolutely not.
No. Well, that would clog up the hose, my friend.
Well, then I guess that must have been a loafer goofing.
Yeah, that's
move,
a little bit of loafer
that is
goofing.
Something that we
my biggest
do.
Boot loafer moment, goof? For sure. When I first got to Okinawa, I got assigned to live in the barracks. And you don't have, like, whenever you go to boot camp, you go to MCT, you go to follow-on school here in Lackland, where I went to canine school, they issue you blankets and shit like that. Whenever I got to Okinawa, it was the first spot that I had been to where they didn't issue any type of blankets or sheets or anything like that. So I had to go to the PX. Buddy, if you don't think that I got one of those super fleece Eagle Globe and Anchor ones with like the biggest Marine Corps logo could find, I wanted whenever I wanted my platoon sergeant or kennel master to come in and do a room inspection, I wanted it to be the most moda place in the world. I had the big Marine Corps flag up there. I had the flag. I had the Eagle Globe and Anchor on my blankets. I was ready to go. First money I spent in Okinawa was definitely on moto shit.
A giant EGA blanket. I remember so many people had those too. But a lot of the common ones that people said were, you know, getting tattoos. A few people said getting married at MOS or tech school.
Yeah.
A ton of people responded with their own thumbs up photos. And they were like, I did it too. Oh my God. All my beginning photos are like giving the thumbs up in uniform for some reason. So I wasn't alone with that. And then this one from KC Best 14 was to take a picture with every single gun I came in contact with, obviously. So many. There's a photo of me with a Mark 19, a .50 cal, a SAW, my M4, this, that. that was definitely a thing with your gas mask.
Oh, that just reminded me. I was still in school, but we had gone to training at Fort Knox, and we got to fire the 25 Mike gun. I brought home the shells for my dad.
Yeah, you got to take a little memento.
Oh, yeah, Dad, totally common. What we do is we take these, we clean them out real good, and then we use them as shot glasses. That's what we do.
Yeah, it's pretty normal. Well, this guy, Casey Best 14, said, you know, taking a picture with every gun I come into contact with. At Eric Humphreys 10 replied, does this count? It's him. You can see his PFC chevron. Or no, his private chevron.
No, yep. PFC. And you're right. There's no such thing as private chevrons, Kate. For stolen valor, Kate strikes again.
Oh, my God, help me. They're invisible, you know. He's pointing his rifle directly at the camera. You can see right down the barrel, which is like a huge no-no because he's clearly pointing his rifle right at somebody else. And it's in black and white. And you can tell he feels badass. He's like,
black and white really makes it.
But so it's just so funny because that is the dumb shit we did as boots. Like, a little wet.
And at that moment,
goofing.
This dude, we'll put it out on social too. This dude feels like a badass. Like, you really do. And those moments that you're a boot, you don't realize how silly you look. And you're thinking, I am so fucking cool.
It was just looking through these responses and photos was so fun because it was everybody kind of admitting it and being like, yeah, here's mine. Like, it was just so funny. And not just people taking photos with any sort of weapon, any sort of military vehicle too. Hot patooties. So many people responded. Here's
sitting
me
on a Humvee.
At that guy, 095 said, taking super cool pictures on the busted ass motorcycles at the Mount Village. Like, they would have them around the Mount Villages to just like make it more. And so it's him and he's like looking really cool in the front. And then his buddy on the back has his shirt tied up in a little knot with his gut hanging out. It's like a whole thing. But there was people sending me like, here's me in front of an army fire truck. Here's me in an army tank, army helicopter, army this, army that. Like, everybody has to take photos with whatever vehicle too. Another huge one was wearing boot shit out in town. Mm-hmm. And this guy, at I Am The Dylan V, wore my battalion skivvy shirt to a Jason Aldean concert with my best friend. And his best friend is wearing his USMC 3rd Battalion shirt.
When I was a boot, you absolutely would never catch me unless I was wearing something from PacSun or Hollister. PacSun, Hollister, and a unit shirt. That's basically my wardrobe at the time.
Yeah.
And I wanted it because I knew my guns were looking good. My chest, my titties were looking fucking tight. I wanted to make sure that the skivvy shirt was nearly bodysuit level. Where it's like, is Chaps wearing a t-shirt or does that snap underneath and he's wearing a bodysuit?
Yeah, is this painted onto his body? That's what this kid looks like. That his shirt is so incredibly tight. His pecs are screaming.
On his areola.
Yes, you can. It is that, and it's tucked into his shirt, and he's got a web belt holding his jeans up. I love this one. At Storm and Norman AK, the day I got out of boot camp, when me and my family were exploring San Diego, I would sprint across the street every time we hit a crosswalk because I wanted to show off how much better shape I was in. Every time it was time to cross the road, he's like, I'll meet you guys across the street. He would like sprint to show them how fit. It's like when a little kid gets a new pair of shoes and they like sprint around everywhere to show their friends how fast they are now. Mm-hmm. I love at Zachary Leka said, wore green full PT gear, including glow belt, Oakleys, and dog tags out on boot leave.
Oh, my God. That's a whole other level. Wearing a glow belt on your civilian time, unless you're PTing, which safety is often paramount, right, Cons?
That's very true.
Very true. This guy, Real Fake Pinks, said he got a screaming high and tight, made his sleeves super tight, and had super high boot blouses. Really high boot blouses was another boot thing. And I would listen to Run to Cadence albums when I was out running. I wasn't in a good place, LOL.
I still do that, though.
See, I was going to call Cons out on it. He still does it. He still listens to Run to Cadence.
I listen to the Cadences on Spotify.
I can't help it if I do run, and I made the promise to the listeners, unless there's a catastrophic event like I'm going to miss a flight, I will never run. Right. That is back into full effect. I apologize again. But whenever I ran like a Spartan race before I started working at Barstool, it is impossible for me to hear the cadence of my feet hitting the pavement and not think, hello, Fried, like it happens.
You're right. Same way.
You guys are psychopaths.
If I ever run without headphones and it's just running, I'm singing something to myself.
What's the go-to one that goes through your head, Cons?
C-130 rolling down the strip.
Yeah, that's a pretty common one. Rolling through the jungle with my M16 is another one that always goes through
little
my...
Little yellow birdie.
Huh?
Little yellow birdie.
Oh, yeah.
Little yellow birdie with a little yellow bill. Anyway,
I'll just be like, what's the sound of artillery? Boom, boom.
Speaking of being a hardo weirdo, JM Thompson 2024 said, wore my waffle top under my t-shirt with the sleeves pushed all the way up because it made me look jacked.
Fuck, so yeah.
It was like how I used to put a sock in my bra in sixth grade.
Let me tell you. High school and then the beginning of college, I'd double up on those Abercrombie t-shirts to look bigger.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You wore two shirts at the same time?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Wow.
It was more so in high school. Once I got to college, that calmed down a little. No, that's not true. I think I still did in college.
Well, Van on a Mission said, I refused to wear flip-flops on boot leave because they were against regulation, obviously. So even on boot leave where nobody could stop him. And gave two civilian buddies the drill instructor treatment in the airport parking lot after they picked me up. Mimicking drill instructors at MCT was all we did. All we would talk about was our drill instructors, what they did. We would mimic them. We would pretend to be them. And it was like, that is such a huge boot camp.
I've been out of boot camp for a long ass time. I still can't start talking about drill instructors because I'll do it for weeks. Like, I still get hooked on it. Whenever people want to talk about it, if you see me out in the street and you want to talk about drill instructors, I'm always down. That's probably my bootest shit ever. I will 1,000%, if I start watching videos on YouTube of drill instructors yelling at recruits, I'll be there the rest of the day. I just love it. And something about the cadence of Marine Corps drill instructors specifically, whenever they're doing marching cadence, like the sing-song cadence, I love it. I get hooked on it.
Oh, yeah. And new boots, it's still so fresh in their mind. A lot of them, at least in the Marine Corps, it's like one of the things they talk about and still bring up constantly.
And
their drill instructors,
another big-time boot move that they have is whenever you go to like your MOS school, you always have that one motivator who thinks that they sound a lot like a drill instructor and wants to march everybody to and from chow. Like, that's a big-time boot move, too.
Oh, big opportunities move. A lot of people saying their boot outfits that they'd wear out in town, like, they would wear their McMap belt with jeans, their t-shirts tucked in, their combat boots. A lot of guys saying they wore their combat boots out in town because, like, well, why buy another pair? These are perfectly fine, you know, just to go to the Oceanside movie theater, that kind of stuff. People going home to, like, local football games and dances in their uniforms.
This one hit me. Other than going to a high school football game in my Charlie's, my first year home for Thanksgiving in college, we're all my team issued Army football gear to the football game.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wearing their stuff when they go home. At Kay Gallette threw his buddy.
No big deal. I hold the ball when they kick field goals.
Mm-hmm.
At Kay Gallette threw his buddy under the bus and says, Nino Malcriado made his wedding song Anchors Away. That is that is a boot ass boot move.
What's that song? How's that go?
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
All right.
I like this one, Gary.
One more, Kate.
Gary Gormley, I like this one, looked someone in the eye and told them they didn't have the honor, courage, or commitment, and I meant it. At that time, you're so self-righteous. When you first get out, you are holier than thou. You have done this thing, and you are like this perfect being, and people who are messing up and are not doing the same, like, you feel like you can tell them.
That's the exact reason why we posted the TikTok on Zero Block 30 on Instagram and on Twitter this week today with the dude who is a PFC in the Army, and he's talking about no more jokes about World War III because people don't want to come home in a casket, and there's like Toby Keith or something like that playing in the background. There but for the grace of God go I. If we would have had those type of accounts, an Instagram account or a TikTok or Twitter that could have went viral when I first joined, buddy, I would have been all over that. I would have been so self-righteous, it would have made your fucking head spin.
Oh, absolutely. I remember Occupy Wall Street was happening when I first got in, and I had a friend of mine who was like, America's not America anymore. America's like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, really? The U.S. of A?
Good,
the
bitch.
The screaming, crying good. Eagle isn't good enough for you? I went off on this long, like, for a couple years later.
On Facebook, right?
A couple years later, after I got out at a bonfire, he was there, and I was like, hey, that was weird, right? Sorry about that. I was in a weird place in my head. I, like, apologized to him.
Well, I told
you
when
do
I
you. You're
I,
free.
When I first got married, I think this was 2008-ish, my wife was friends with a guy on Facebook who posted the American flag upside down, like a distress symbol, on his Facebook account. And I told my wife, I was like, you better tell him. if I fucking see him, I'm going to whoop his ass.
He doesn't have the honor, the courage, or the commitment, and I mean it.
This fucking hippie fuck, these libtards.
But that's how you drink the Kool-Aid, so hard.
Bet they like that blanket of freedom I provide every night.
Thank you so much to every... These, going through these every week is one of the favorite parts of my week.
It's a lot of fun.
I sit there on my couch going through them, putting them on the sheet, cackling as I read them. Some of them are so funny. This guy, Ryan Noel, with the double thumbs up pick, same as me. Like, so many great followers, so many funny mirror picks at Focused X.
All right, one last one, Cons. What do you got?
One last one, a stupid loafer here. A day after commissioning, I parked in the general officer parking at the PX at MCBQ. In butter bars because I thought it was parking for officers generally.
And that one just straight up proves that the only difference between a Lance Corporal and a second lieutenant is that the Lance Corporal has been promoted twice. That is
true
the
story.
Only difference. We are all the same at our core. Let's go into round number four.
Round number four. Here's our interview with Pop Smoke. Now on Zero Blog 30, I'm joined by Daniel Sharp, the wonderfully weird brain behind Pop Smoke Official. You have over 500,000 followers on Facebook. Almost, you're getting very close to 300,000 followers on Instagram. I have followed your accounts for, I feel like, forever. And you've kind of built your own social media empire of sorts in the veteran community. And Daniel did 12 years in the Marine Corps, infantry, deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. Your knees must be in absolute shambles. But can you give us a little background on how on earth, after 12 years, 11 of those, I think, like, were after training full infantry, how on earth you got to where you're at now?
Well, I actually started about a year or two before I got out of the service. Mm-hmm. And I was always worried that the commandant was going to kick down my door and, like, NJP me on the spot for making fun of him. But thankfully, that didn't happen, and I got out.
Yeah. So you made it out unscathed. Did anybody, when you were in, did anybody say anything to you, or you kind of just, like, snuck under the radar on it?
My friends around me, they knew. And so it was kind of like our own personal secret, but I never got in trouble with any of the higher over it, but I was always worried that I was gonna.
Yeah. And now you have these huge accounts, again, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers. You have the Smoke Pit podcast with your co-host, and he's a Navy RP. So he helps with the corpsman, he helps with the chaplain and all that stuff. But he's just completely tatted up. How did you two meet?
He slid in my DMs, actually.
Yeah.
I was putting together a Memorial Day breakfast/brunch because, you know, a lot of times, like, when you get out, you don't really have a lot of people to hang out with on those kind of days that are more solemn, and it's better to be around other people. So I put together kind of like a meet and greet, and he said, like, hey, I'm active duty, like, would you mind if I still came through? And I was like, brother man, you can bring as many people as you want.
Yeah.
And he showed up, and he's absolutely hilarious. We hit it off, and we decided to start the podcast together.
And what I love about it is there's a lot of military meme accounts out there that it's all run by anonymous people. You never know who's behind it, but some of the posts are you sharing bits of your personal life, your triumphs, your struggles, what's going on with you. And I think so many veterans, especially from infantry backgrounds, connect with it so deeply and appreciate that honesty that you put out there. And you really have kind of created this, like, online community. And I know that you've been very active about, if you need help, seek help. If you need this, like, you've always been very vocal about that kind of stuff. But one thing recently, you were spending time down in D.C. with John Stewart, members of Congress and their staff, and you were discussing the toxic exposure healthcare bill for veterans exposed to the burn pits. Was this always something that was on your mind? How did this come onto your radar?
Well, I had been working with Grunstyle on a few different things, and they reached out to me and they said, hey, you live near D.C. Would you like to be a part of this? And I said, fucking A, right, little doggy, like, you know, I had three pulmonary embolisms in my lungs, and part of my lung died right after I got out of the service, because I was breathing on some gnarly shit overseas. And so I was like, you know, of course I'd love to be a part of this, and I'd love to help put a spotlight on it. And we got up there, and it was just really it was really bipartisan.
Yeah.
You know, there were people from both sides, and they're just like, all right, we're going to set aside our political differences, and all we want to do is just, you know, help these veterans. And one of the things that John Stewart said was, you know, with the 9/11 first responder bills, like, we have the data, we have the information on what these chemicals do and the effects it have on the body. We don't have 20 years to wait for another study why veterans are dying.
And when this happened to you right after you got out, did you know right away? Were you like, this was probably because of the burn pits? Or did you, because you did, you were in both Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah. I didn't put those things together. And the most difficult thing to navigate about all of this is that you can't 100% ever say that a cancer or a disease was caused by one thing specifically,
right,
when it comes to this issue. And so what they're trying to do is work on something called the presumptive, where they said, like, all right, you know, we're pretty fucking confident that, you know, breathing burn pits for X amount of months, you know, led to some righteous fucking issues. So that's what they're really trying to work on, so that way the VA can't just be like, oh no, not service related.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of hard to deny at this point. I know. Did you meet other veterans there when you were in DC who have been like, no denying it, you've been affected by burn pits? Was there a lot of other?
Yeah. There was a gentleman there named Edward, and he had jet fuel sprayed in his face on accident, and mm-hmm. it caused cancer in his eye duct, and it gave him some really bad issues. And so he's the ambassador for Burn Pits 360, the organization that is that got the two amendments passed to not only one, stop burning metals, and then two, figure out where all the burn pits have been, so that way they can make a comprehensive list.
Yeah, I saw, and that's www.burnpits360.org or at burnpits360 underscore on Instagram, and you can follow that and see that. But I was looking, they have this map that came out where you can pick what year, like, so, okay, I was in Afghanistan in 2010 in the area of Marja, and you can pick and you can look and you can see, it shows you, like, how much, you know, what the air quality was. And as you go through the years, and you pick your year and you look and you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, God, no. Because it really, like, you don't think about it when you're there, I think. Like, stirring the barrel is just another part of everyday life. And watching, like, the Afghan army throw a bunch of their gear into the fire that they don't want to carry. And you're like, well, what was in that gear that I'm breathing in, like, every 10 minutes? But,
well, not only that, but, like, body parts, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and chemicals and jet fuel and all kinds of righteous stuff. And it's not just that, but, like, I did an article for, there was black mold and in the barracks and brown water coming out of the faucet in Quantico.
Yeah.
And it had been that way for 9 months. And so me just being a private citizen, like, I called PR at the Pentagon and I was just like, hey, why has this been this way? And the next day a work truck showed up. And that's one of the crazy things about having this platform is that, like, I feel it's like a responsibility to not just do humor, but also to, like, try to do good for, you know, for my fellow Bella Woodsman.
And I think, too, honestly, the VA or some organization could put out some kind of bulletin saying whatever. Far more people are going to see it when you do it. You have a far more active and engaged following than some, you know, PSA about something. So it really does make a huge difference. I remember reading about that story. You brought it up, and next thing you know, they're taking action on it when it had probably been going on for so long. But why do you feel this? You have this, a lot of people have a platform, but they don't feel any sort of responsibility. What is it about you that you think you feel like you have to stay engaged in these things?
It's mainly when people reach out to me and they tell me their story. It's just like, you know, my girlfriend was killed by a drunk driver, and I listened to your podcast before I even left the cemetery. And I've gotten so many messages like that of people saying that things that I've done have helped them through hard times. And I'm like, well, that's terrible, because, like, if you're relying on me not to kill yourself, then I can't kill myself.
Right.
Because other people are relying on me. And so it's just like, man, like, I guess I gotta keep living and, you know, keep doing stuff.
Yeah. I got a cat now. So I'm like, well, now I have a cat.
Yeah.
You gotta keep trucking. But you've had your own struggles after you've gotten out. And what was your time in service like? Can you give a quick walkthrough of kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah. I did about 12 years in the infantry. I deployed to Iraq twice, Afghanistan. I went to Jordan. I went to Guantanamo Bay. And then I got out and I started a small business, did that for a few years. And
what was the small business?
I had a hauling company. Well, basically, we just did working parties for a living.
Yeah. Love that.
And it's it's do what you know, because when I was doing my steps and taps, I said I didn't want to be law enforcement or security. You know, God bless those people, but like I'd done five deployments, I'd have enough of being shot at and, you know, wearing body armor, my neck kills me. Mm-hmm. And they said, if you don't want to be that, then you can be a crossing guard or a janitor.
Right.
And I was like, all right, cool.
Thanks, TAPS program. Yeah, really getting me ready for the future. So
yeah, exactly.
You stuck with what you knew. You started a small business. But all at the same time, this entire time, because you started it in the last couple years before you got out, this was just something you were doing on the side. Pop Smoke was just something. When did the podcast start up? When did everything else, when did it start to become something for you that you're like, I can actually start to put other stuff aside and really focus on this?
I'd say about a year and a half ago. I got surrounded by some good people that were really passionate about helping the veteran community, like Scott Davison with Burbiz. We do these veteran transition seminars all over the country. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we bring together veteran communities and influencers, and, you know, we have hundreds, if not thousands of people show up to them. It's a 4-hour open bar. We just got back from Vegas, so my head's still killing me. But yeah, so him, Mike Sensi, AJ Pfeffer, like some of these guys that, you know, really were just like, man, like, I'm getting recognized just by being on one of your skits, or like, you know, for when you tag me and stuff, like, and so they were just really encouraging. And then, so I got together with a few of those guys and we started the podcast about a year and a half ago.
That's awesome. And podcast has been doing great. Again, that is the Smoke Pit Podcast. You can find it wherever your podcasts are found. And I think it's awesome that you've created this whole big community. Do you ever have gatherings? Like, have you ever thought about doing that? Like, is there like Pop Smoke get togethers kind of? I know Burbiz is like similar, not quite the same, but similar kind of idea. But is that something in the future? Is there like, what's next for Pop Smoke? It's such a huge thing.
Yeah, we did our season one finale at a VFW and we had a pretty big turnout for the live episode, and we took questions and answers from the audience, and we're actually in contact with one of the prestigious gentlemen clubs in Jacksonville, North Carolina. They want us to host their St. Patrick's Day party.
That's awesome. We were down in, we were down Fort Bragg for a boxing match that we did here, Rough and Rowdy. And afterwards, at the end of the night, in true style, we were like, oh, we're going to, we wound up at the strip clubs. We like, it's such a great, but I think that would be an awesome idea. That could be the next big thing for you guys, for sure. But so you're doing all this stuff, advocacy for all these different things, but you posted kind of recently too. It was last year in October, just wandering the deserts of Peru on my way to Machu Picchu, trying to finish my book. This last month has been fucking nuts. I sold my business in Virginia Beach, gave away everything I own that didn't fit in my truck. You may struggle in life, but every day is a chance to redefine yourself. And there's all these things. If you look on your Instagram, you're in Honduras, Peru, cruising on Lake Titicaca, Australia, Mexico. What was it that you said, you know what, I need to follow this passion and need to just let it go? Because that's a very scary thing that people think about doing all the time. But nobody, I mean, very few people actually like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it's I've long said that, you know, the mission doesn't stop just because you take a casualty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether that be in real life when you're operating or being a metaphor for struggles that you face in your everyday life, it's just a matter that if you're not where you want to be in life, your journey's not over yet. Mm-hmm. You know, you can set your pack down for a second, but pick it back up and continue to march. And I just realized that I've seen so many people get into positions where they're not happy with their life. And my philosophy has always been that if you are successful, you have less affinity to want to join the military again. And success can be defined by anything. It doesn't have to be by how much money you make. You could make $4 an hour, you know, as a waitress. But if you love your kid and you love your dog and you're happy, that's life. You know, you're successful. You know, if you can wake up with a smile in the morning, then that's success. And so I've seen so many people not be where they want to be. And I was just want to, people to know that you can change your life. You get to control it. You don't have to do things just because it's what people expect you to do. And you can be brave enough to charge in a machine gun fire or, you know, do whatever in the military. But then people are so scared to bet on themselves when they get out.
Yeah. They're willing to put it all on the line for somebody else. But when it comes down to what would, yeah, it's a very difficult thing to do. I think that's awesome. Are you still working on the book?
Yeah. We're talking to a few different publishers right now. A buddy of mine, Garrett Jones, he's a best-selling author. He's actually overseas right now. He's from Wales in the United Kingdom, and so he's kind of helping me out. And just to see like how much support we get from like Australia, Norway, the Netherlands, UK, all these partner countries, because they don't have the same sort of support that we have here. Mm-hmm. They don't get their free dinner at Applebee's for Veterans Day.
Right.
You know, most of their Memorial Days, like Anzac and stuff like that, is more focused towards World War One.
Right.
As were a lot of their current veterans, they're kind of looked down upon because it's like, oh, well, you weren't smart enough to go to university, so you had to join the military.
Right.
And so my second largest city of followers is Australia, Sydney. Huh.
When you went there, did you meet up with people who followed the account and stuff? Was it like?
Yeah. Yeah, every one of those countries that I went to, somebody recognized me or somebody messaged me. And it's just really humbling to think like you have this worldwide community that we may have not worn the same uniform, but we live the same life.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you've created this whole thing. You're doing so much good stuff out there. Definitely burnpits360.org. Check that out. They're working on protections for veterans, Burn Pit Exposure Act, the Burn Pit Registry. If you haven't registered, go and register and check that out. How was John Stewart? Did you get to?
Yeah, he was really cool. He's not what a lot of people think. He's very funny. And I cracked a joke about the meeting that made him laugh. So I was just like, I knew it. Like, I have a future in comedy. I can make John Stewart laugh.
Sold. That's when I first got out of the Marines and I moved up to New York to finish school, and he was doing the veteran immersion program. So once a week I got to go down to the Daily Show when he was still there, his final season.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I was like, holy shit, like we can do this too. For me, I was like, before when I first got out, I was like, well, I would never have a chance. I'd never be able to do that. But sitting in the room and seeing it, he's like such a good fucking guy. Like he's just done so many incredible, amazing things for veterans and all that stuff. So very cool. And the staff on DC, the staffers, everybody was pretty receptive to you guys. So hopefully a lot of good stuff and progress being made with that. But thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, check out the Burn Pit, or pardon me, the Burn Pit podcast. Don't check that out. That would be very bad. Check out the Smoke Pit podcast. Though we could get a Burn Pit podcast going on. That could be a good.
Yeah, I think we could.
And final, speed round. So I'm going to just go right through them. No hot chow for a month or no hot showers for a month?
No hot shower.
Fuck, marry, kill, Glow Belt, iPro, blank firing adapter.
Fuck the BFA, marry the Glow Belt, and kill the iPro.
You're banned from the infantry and have to take on another MOS. What job are you taking?
I am going to take counterintelligence.
All right. What smell reminds you most of your time in service?
Gosh, probably shit.
Yeah, probably. Do you have any moto tats?
Yes, I have meat tags on my ribs, and then a poem that I wrote for some of my friends who didn't come back from Afghanistan on my back.
Yeah. Thank you again so much at @pop_smoke_official. It's really, really fun to follow it. So many good stuff. And you guys come up with all those memes and everything. It's like you guys come up with all your own jokes, which is also pretty rare in the military meme community. So a lot of good stuff.
Watching our social clips, and like we'll put some of Pop Smoke up there as well. You're going to see the hoodie that I'm wearing right now. If you want to get the black hoodie, it is still for sale on the store, in the Barstool Sports store. Go to store.barstoolsports.com and you can find all the ZBT gear. Just search Zero Block 30 in the search bar. You'll be able to find all of our different shirts and things like that. And don't forget, if you are out at the Air Force Academy, we will be coming out there on February 15th for the NHL series, where we'll be going to the Air Force Academy Stadium and hanging out and chilling with you guys. We'll have a meet and greet, which we'll tell you more about next week too, of where the exact location and times are if you want to head up with that. Up until then, let's go on into round number 5. All right, round number 5 comes to us from Sacramento, California. This is from the Tribune News Service. I think we actually got it from Stars and Stripes as well. They say that an airman who told authorities last week that he could not remember his own identity after reportedly being found in a county ditch in California, he had a head injury and was determined to fabricate a large portion of his story, the Jackson police chief said this week. This incident started as a Jane Doe case handled by the Jackson Police Department and Jackson Police Fire Department as well, in initial social media posts and statements. So basically what happened is this guy was found in a ditch. And whenever they found him in a ditch, he was clean. He looked like he hadn't been out there that long. And he was just kind of laying there looking a little bit dazed. So the police started to investigate what was going on in the incident. And he told them that he had been kidnapped in Sacramento, California. And he was held for days, that he had been beaten. Well, they could look at the dude's face and say that he hadn't been beaten or anything like that, that he hadn't been starved or like held without food, that he looked in pretty good shape. And he said that he couldn't remember a lot of it, that he had a bit of amnesia. Well, it turns out the guy made up everything. He made up everything that was happening in the story. He just didn't want to be at Travis Air Force Base anymore. And he thought that if he went through this super traumatic event, that somehow it would get him kicked out of the military. I gotta say, this story is one of the biggest good initiatives, bad judgments that I've ever seen.
Good initiative. What?
Yeah. How do you figure this is good initiative?
Good initiative.
Explain yourself.
If you want to get out of the military, there's a couple ways that you can do it. That is like that you could do it. Like one, getting super overweight. If you get super overweight and you fail a bunch of PT tests, you're going to get kicked out. Two, AIDS. If you contract HIV, they're most likely going to kick you out. And three, if you get amnesia, you're going to get kicked out without having any of the negative undertones. Like, nobody's going to be
none of those are positive. Those are all negative.
What do we mean?
This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible that he came up with such a ridiculous story to get out of his service. I understand that sometimes you get in the service, and believe me, it's not always rainbows and sunshine the way the recruiters tend to make it out to be. So I understand that you don't want to be in the Air Force anymore. I don't know, man. Maybe go talk to someone about that and figure something out, how you can maybe reduce your service, reduce the time.
Pop hot but to go twice to on lengths, a piss test or something like that. Because this isn't what he actually told the police.
By the way, if you have HIV and you're HIV positive, you can still serve. And in some cases, you can even deploy.
But I did not know that. But don't you have to wear the red tab?
No.
Do you remember when that was a big rumor? Do you remember that? No. I think it was there was a unit in – you never heard that, Kate? You never heard that rumor?
No.
I never heard that rumor.
So there was Marines that would wear the red tabs. I think it was LAR. And they would wear like a red tab on their uniform. When I first got to Okinawa, it was super common to tell boots that the people with the red tab had AIDS. And that's the reason why they had to wear that all the time.
I really don't – I don't like that. I don't like AIDS goofing. I don't feel good about it, but that's okay.
Kate doesn't like AIDS goofing, but that's I can't even think of the last time that somebody didn't know that. Sometimes the Stolen Valor Kate comes up big time. I can't believe you never heard that rumor.
No, I never heard it.
Yeah, it was a big one that went around. But I think going to the chief of police and saying that it was so bad, like if he would have got into it and said that I lost consciousness, you might get away from it. But him saying he told my folks that he was a victim of a kidnapping that took place in Sacramento, and he stated that he was held there for several days until he claims he was beaten about the head until he lost consciousness. The next thing he remembered was coming to in a ditch in our county, and he was telling the officers this, and they knew right away. I think the officers always have that good, like police officers always have that intuition. This story just flat out doesn't check out.
Yeah,
My theory is that he winds up in a ditch off Highway 88 in the small town of Pine Grove in the middle of fucking nowhere, kind of far from the base. And he's been missing for days. He got reeled in with a significant other of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a couple days goofing. Was like, this is better and more important than whatever. I'm sticking with this. Then it went sour, and she or he dropped him off in the middle of nowhere and said, deal with it, bitch.
They definitely got in a fight in the car, and he or she said, you can just get out. And that's what happened.
That's my theory. Get out of this car right now.
No, that's probably exactly what happened. And Chapter right. I think cops just see so many things so often that they do have the gut instinct to just know, this doesn't pass the smell.
I wrote a blog that very clearly illustrates that point just a couple weeks ago. There was a lady, and you're not going to believe this, but she was in Florida. And when she said, as soon as the cops pulled up, she said that her landlord came and was disappointed that she hadn't paid the check on time. Well, that seems like a normal story, right? The landlord shows up at the place. You haven't paid in time. This lady was covered in literal shit. Like from head to toe, she said that her landlord brought a bucket of shit and threw it on her in order to get her to pay her stuff. The cops noticed that both the landlord and the lady was covered in shit, but the lady who said that she was covered in shit by the landlord's shit was actually dry on her face, while the landlord was still in wet shit. So the cops on the scene in the moment determined the fact that the lady who threw the shit was actually the lady who lived in the house, and she had spread the shit on herself before the landlord came over and was prepared with a fresh bucket of shit and blamed the landlord.
Yeah, this Air Force story is classic wet shit, dry shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? This guy tried to be wet shit.
Yeah.
He tried to be wet shit, this airman.
And it was a dry shit story.
He was dry shit all the way.
He was dry shit airman.
The best part about this story, too, is at the end, Sacramento is so unconcerned with this fake story because they didn't put a whole lot of effort into it that they said, you know what? We're not going to charge the people. We're just going to turn them back over to the military and they could do whatever they want with
them. Let them deal with them. We don't even care.
And he is indeed back in their hands, and I'm curious to know how things are going for him.
Just imagine what that is like, stepping back into your supervisor's office the next day after you made up this unbelievable story and made, like, you're on Stars and Stripes, you're in multiple newspapers across the country. How embarrassed your command. That's why we didn't say his name, like, on the show, because there's no reason for us to pile on.
One of my MP buddies was like actual military police down at MCRD San Diego, and said that one time they had a case where one of the recruits escaped, essentially, and they found him at a Denny's, like, eating, still in his uniform, just eating a big old breakfast there. And I imagine what that ride had to be like, to have to go back to the drill instructors and all that after escaping to go get pancakes. Like, wild. I would just be like, you know what, can you just film
good
and
breakfast,
the cop
though,
car
I'll
into
tell you
the bay?
What, that might be worth it.
Yeah. True. I hope he got to finish it.
Yeah, seriously.
Indeed.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. That would be...
No.
If you're going to really indulge at breakfast, what are you ordering? Really indulge.
Moons over my hammy.
Okay.
Chaps. Table cakes.
Table cakes.
Table cakes for sure.
Table cakes, that's a given.
At Denny's, you said?
Yeah. At anywhere. Just in breakfast in general.
Oh, if I want to eat till I'm sick, I'll do biscuits and gravy.
Mmm. Shit on a shingle, too. Yeah. My goodness.
Chicken fried steak and eggs, I think.
There you go.
And then, of course, we're doing table cakes.
Of course. Mm.
The table cakes that we had in Philly, the table French toast.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. For the Army-Navy game weekend? Mm. Holy fuck balls.
Those
what was that? Creme brulee pancakes or something?
No,
yes.
Creme brulee French toast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, we got table toast.
Table toast.
Fancy bitches.
We flipped the game on its head.
We certainly did.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Kate acted like she was stunning to the waitress, too, and it was really Barstool that paid for it. She's like, you know what? I'm going to do a round of table toast for the table. And then it's like,
oh,
Barstool
pays
for it.
I'm not paying for it.
All right. Let's go ahead and move into save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
Super Bowl weekend. Woo, woo, woo. Football. Yeah, sports.
Thank you. This is Barstool Sports.
After all, of course.
Gosh.
I once went to the Super Bowl to remind everyone, because I was a veteran, and it was what's the History Channel or whatever?
History Channel.
They sent a group of vets over when it was over here at the Meadowlands.
Yes.
And so I was like, I'm a veteran and the war was so hot. And they're like, here you go, little veteran, have a ticket. I said, thank you, governor.
That game was so terrible, too.
It was a blowout. I got hammered blackout drunk at the game. I was playing quarters with a bunch of rich people on actual glass tabletop until they told me to stop. But I had a real hoot. Bruno Mars, I think, was the halftime. Whatever. It was a treat. So that was a ton of fun. But there's a lot of stories out this week. Like Deshaun Watson is giving military veteran trips to the Super Bowl. There's a bunch of different NFL players that are gifting veterans and stuff trips to the Super Bowl in groups. Very, very cool. Also, it was the first time that I ever saw the Westboro Baptist Church in action.
Ooh.
And I got to flip them off out of the bus in person. Which
not longtime stoolies.
No, no bricks for them.
Nope.
But I don't know. Just always fun to see, I guess. I'm going to eat so many pigs and blankets this weekend and be gross. Swish. And I guess, safety brief for me. If you have a hard PT on Monday morning, don't go ham on the 7-layer dip. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Okay? Take it easy. But that's pretty much it for me. I hope I get my Twitter back. I'm very lost without it.
Yes.
That's all.
We all hope you get
Bren?
It.
Bren?
So, obviously, we were bought by Penn National Gaming. Mm-hmm. So, betting and gambling is large on our minds over here at Barstool. And hopefully for next episode or sometime next week, we'll put it out to the audience. But I'm going to ask you guys now, was there ever a bet that you made, not even monetary-wise, but like amongst your buddies, that you made a bet and you lost?
Mostly the are you all serious?
Well, I want to know what a good one is that you had to suffer through.
But the punishment was always like, if you can't, like, whatever, if you lost a PTD, you got to drink the dip spit. It was like all that kind of dumb, like, bets to do gross shit kind of thing. Or you won't, just dumb bets, like, bet you won't.
There was, yeah, there was one summer, like, we would go around and everybody at the table, it was a different person's turn each day. And the table got to make you a drink with whatever was on the table. And you had to drink it.
And then also, round number three with all the great responses will definitely be on YouTube, so make sure to subscribe to that.
Indeed.
There you go. Cons, what do you got?
Yeah, so right after this, I got a hustle to the airport. I'm going out to my annual trip with my battle buddy Rob to snowboard out in Utah for the weekend. And I say that just to say that, you know, given the events of this week, if you have a friend you haven't talked to in a little while, just reach out, send him a text, say, hey, what's up? Hope you're doing well. I think it's important.
Important to
maintain those relationships.
True story.
All right. Mine is that we want to send our thoughts out to the families of those who were lost in Afghanistan this week. There was two pilots who were killed in a plane crash that happened in Afghanistan. The Navy's SEAL Team 6 actually recovered the bodies this week. And it's just a terrible story of what happened. They don't know what the cause of the crash was. The Taliban took responsibility for it, but we're not sure still what happened there. So we want to send our thoughts out to those, the families of those that were involved in the Air Force's E-11 Alpha aircraft that crashed in Afghanistan this week. Also, I didn't want to spend much time on it. We talked about making it around. Eddie Gallagher, fucking stop, man. What are we doing? Like, just let it go, man. Like, having this video and a documentary about everything that happened this soon and posting active duty members who are in DevGru and in the Green Berets and in a bunch of other units, just fucking stop.
Yeah. I mean, taking all the events of what happened with him out of the story, dude, you've been given a second chance. So just go lay low. Just get out of the spotlight. Stop making this a thing. And for what he did on this video, is just really, I was really sickened to see that he did that to fellow team members, and not cool. Just stop. Just go away. Lay low for the rest of your life. Be happy that you're not in jail.
To circle it back to Full House, again, in the words of Joey Gladstone.
Cut it out.
And also a good reminder that we've seen on Twitter that I've seen a lot and thought about, the high road is always available. It is an available route to take, so sometimes we should take it. On the retreat.
Oh no. Speaking of taking the high road, I would like to take the low road and assign Firewatch to a commenter.
Oh. Who?
Yeah. At Travlay on Instagram, he wrote, "Sorry, but every time she talks, I want to kill things about me."
Jeez, that's not nice.
Travlay, you have Firewatch, buddy.
Big coat, whoever your name is.
I know you have no Firewatch, therefore I fixed that tonight.
Hi, sir.
Second and third shift.
Okay.
And I hope it's miserable.
And I also forgot I have to give out Firewatch as well, so I'm going to take that upon myself to do that now. So what shift do you want him to take, Kate? Second and third?
Second and third.
Okay, so...
Oh, no!
So...
Don't put me on Firewatch with that guy!
I don't think you're getting Firewatch. No, Kate, I think he's got someone else in mind.
Kate's
thankfully
not getting Firewatch for that. I wouldn't put you on with a guy who wants to kill you. I'm not going to do that.
thank you.
So I think first, fifth, and seventh shift of Firewatch this week, first time we've given out three shifts of Firewatch, it's going to go to all the higher-ups at Lockheed Martin, which includes, I believe, General Dumfert now, because they have spent... I mean, this program is a $428 billion program for the F-35. They can't even make the gun shoot straight. Their software came back with 873 software issues, and they have 13 must-fix issues that they've said are going to cost at least another $22 billion. Lockheed Martin, with your $500 billion in assets from the F-35, you can think about how you're going to make all those 873 changes to the software while you're on three shifts of fucking Firewatch this weekend.